And let's say good morning and welcome now to Dr. Jer Parsons. He just walked in the studio, and he's here on, what is it, Monday and Thursdays now that we have our
It's Thursday, right? Yeah, I'm back on now that we got our man in town.
I'm glad Calvin came into town and relieved you, because you were getting a little bit bloodshot in the eyes.
I feel like I've been relieved.
What are we talking about?
It's kind of like our saying today. Sooner or later, a person, if he is wise, discovers that life is a mixture of good days and bad, victory and defeat, give and take.
Good news and bad news.
See there, that's sad.
Let's talk about the good news.
We need
first.
Some good news, and the good news is it's time to start planting the garden, spring garden.
Here we
and
are,
the first thing, January. That's right. First thing that you plant in the spring garden is English peas. Now, before you plant those English peas, if you planted cereal rye or Elbin rye, you need to shred that down. And I talked to old Steve George the other day. You know, he used to be county horticulturist. Now he's a high roller up in Dallas.
Big old PhD.
And he was talking about cereal rye, and he written up a deal about shredding cereal rye down. He said, get your lawnmower out there. Shred the cereal rye down. I called him. I said, you never have grown cereal rye, have you, George? No. How'd you know? I said, because you can't get a lawnmower in a garden. It'd be like, it's rough. You know, you can barely get your lawnmower over your lawn, much less in a roughed up garden. I said, what you use is a flexible string trimmer.
There you are. Yeah.
And he remembered you explaining to him you can't say things like weed eater because that's a brand name. You
like
have to
Kleenex,
say flexible string trimmer.
Yeah.
See how you've trained us in this
media? You're getting better.
Anyway, whatever it is, flexible and shred that down and work it on the 30 days before you're going to plant. Okay, today is January the 4th, and if you shred that down today, then you'll be able to plant that on my birthday.
Which is?
What is 30 days from today? February the 4th.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I remembered it.
Notice how I kind of eased that in there.
You give us plenty of time to think up of a clever idea.
Thank you. I don't need clever idea, just send money. All right, and so about the 1st of February, last of January, is the time to make your first planting of peas. People are always around here wanting to grow peas. And it's interesting. Some people can grow the dickens out of them, especially people in the hill country. Because now they want to wait a little bit later because peas will freeze. They can tolerate an occasional frost, but flowers and pods will freeze, and sometimes the entire plant will freeze. So for that reason, you can't plant it in the fall since most of these, it's so hot so late, and then it turns real cold like it did this year. So peas don't do well in the fall. The best optimum time to grow snow peas, grow sugar snap peas, which we're going to talk about in a little while, and English peas, any of those types of things, is now.
How about sweet peas?
And they used to.
Or is that an ornamental?
Can you eat those?
Is that an ornamental?
Can you eat sweet peas? No, you look at the bloom.
That's right. I'm growing some, and I'm worried about them.
But don't worry about them. They're cold, Macrellis. They're cold.
They're not growing,
They sit there kind of like bluebonnets. Neither are bluebonnets, are they?
No, not much.
See, they're about the size of a quarter, and they just kind of sit there. And I don't care how much you fertilize them, how much you water them, they're going to sit there and wink at you because they got better sense than to grow when it's cold every other day. In fact, even peas, which germinate in cool soil, takes longer in cold soil. For instance, it may take 36 days, that's over a month, for peas to germinate if the soil is below 40 degrees.
Mm.
Okay, 9 days if the soil temperature is 50 degrees. Only 10 degrees warmer makes it come up that much faster. Well, we're still 40 degree soil, or colder.
Okay.
And at 68 degrees, it only takes 7 days. So the warmer the soil, the faster it'll germinate. But we still need to get them out and get them in there so they'll germinate and grow while we have during the cool spring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes our spring go from cool spring to hot summer.
That's right.
Real quick.
Real fast.
Okay, when we get back, we'll talk about some of the varieties you might want to use and get a pencil and paper. And we'll tell you where to order them from, too.
Okay, Dr. Jer Parsons, he's with us. We are at the halfway point. Get back to him right after this. I can't think of anything that tastes any better than fresh English peas.
You know, it's interesting around
right out of the
here.
Garden, they are good.
A lot of people are not used to eating them.
We raised them as a kid up in North Texas. I can't do any good with them down here too well.
Like I said, some people fill their freezers with them. And some people, like myself, I plant 100 square feet of them and get enough for a bowl full.
That's right. Then maybe one mess.
But I still like to fool them because they're the first thing that's green.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. A lot of people believe that the pea was discovered by a Chinese man named Shen Nung.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Now, you know, because I speak fluent Chinese.
I know.
I noticed that on television. Did you notice me?
Yeah, you don't even know one word.
Did you notice me? Will you quit?
Go on.
All right, believe it, old Shen Nung, a buddy of mine, discovered these things 5,000 years ago. this was my kind of guy, because he went out. He's the guy that brought wheat and rice and peas into cultivation in China. And this guy, he's a pistol. He'd go around and he'd see things and say, well, that'd look pretty good to eat. Mm-hmm. And then he'd bring it back, and first he'd make up a little dish and feed it to his dog.
Yeah, sure.
And then he'd feed it. The dog did pretty good for a day or two. Then he'd feed it to a servant, and I don't know whether he moved up to his wife next or not. The story ends there, but that's the way he discovered whether things were edible or not. Now, I hope he had somebody better than Shirley Johnson cooking for him, or the dog probably wouldn't even touch it. English pea type variety that we recommend. Mm-hmm. For people that can't, you know, that don't want to go wrong, such as yourself, is the sugar snap types. The sugar snap was the first edible potted pea, or one of the first edible potted pea. And so for people that don't know when to harvest snap peas, and they miss it, you know, maybe they go on a vacation, if you miss your snap pea on an edible potted pea, you can come back and go ahead and shell them out and use them as English pea.
Sure. Yeah.
Or if you're earlier than a snap pea, you can use them as snow peas. So the edible potted pea is the answer. Now, what's really come along to make things even better is that they've come up with dwarf sugar. The sugar snap variety is a large growing thing. It has to be trellised.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it grows 4, 5, 6 feet tall and doesn't really start blooming and producing until it's about 5. But they've come up with some dwarf ones, and I've got some names of some. Now, the problem is that you're going to have trouble finding these on the local seed rack. There's one called Sugar Bon, B-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
That means good. I'm tough in French, too.
I know you are. You're good. You're so bilingual.
I took French so many times, they wanted me to teach the first beginning course. Sugar Bon. Sugar Male is another one, M-E-L. Sugar Daddy. You've heard of a Sugar Daddy.
I've heard of Sugar Daddy.
You always wanted to be one, but you couldn't afford it. Sugar Ann is another one. Those can be ordered from my buddy in Stephenville, Texas, who's Porter and Son Seedsman Texas. People always say, well, now, what's the P.O. box number? There's only 3 buildings in Stephenville. You just send it to Porter and Son.
The biggest one is Porter and Son.
And he'll get it. The zip, if you want to give him a chance up there, is 76401 or 76401, if you can only remember 2 numbers. All right, now, if you want to order from an out-of-state place, you know, that's Park Seed Company. And Park Seed Company, they're in a little bit larger town, so you might put a P.O. box up for them. And that's P.O. Box 46. And that's in South Carolina, son. That's in Greenwood, South Carolina.
Not Greenwood.
Greenwood.
Yeah.
Now, it's not South Carolina. It's South Carolina.
Yeah, like You've got to say it right.
See, my folks are from North Carolina.
Okay.
I went to Tennessee from North Carolina. All right, South Carolina. And the zip is 29648. In either Porter & Son or Park Seed Company in... did I give the box? Yeah, P.O. Box 46. And South Carolina will give you those right. Now, the only problem you're going to have with them, a little bit later on, you might see some whitish stuff developing on the foliage. That's powdery mildew, and you can take care of that with Benamil or Solus systemic fungicide in the area. But other than that, all you got to do is grow them and eat them and enjoy them. But remember,
happily ever after.
Yeah, remember, and that's the first thing you plant this time of year. Remember, the longer, the colder the soil, the longer it's going to take them to germinate, so don't give up the bees. Don't plant them too deep. Plant them about half an inch deep. I'm going to tell everybody a half an inch, and they'll put them 3/4.
Yeah.
So that's plenty to eat. Don't plant them too
deep. Time's gone. Thank you much. All right, Dr. Jerry Parsons, area vegetable specialist with the Extension Service. He'll be back with us again next Monday.